You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. She's keeping her baby. Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, is pregnant. It was announced yesterday. It may be a political firestorm or not. What do you think? Should candidates be judged on the actions of their children? Should candidates be judged? Should children's behavior be an indication of a candidate's qualifications to rule? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
Another big story this week is that it's back to school for tens of thousands of children and young adults across the country. And some estimate that college students should plan on dishing out nearly $1,000 for books this year. And it's so expensive that one California state study says one in six University of California students, well, they're cutting back on classes to save on books. In response, some schools are beginning to offer required reading online for little or no cost, and so are some businesses opening up the text not only to students but to anyone who wants to learn. Joining us now is Rich Baranick. He is the founder of Connections, the open source text website based out of Rice University. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Would you explain how your site and your company is working?
Sure. Well, basically what Connections is a new alternative to the standard way of both developing and people using textbooks. The first important point is that they're all free. So everything is freely available on the web to look at, to use, not just by students in regular formal classes, but by anyone who's interested in learning. And the second really important point is that the texts are all open, in the sense that not only can you look at them, but you can also update them, change them, improve them, or customize them so that your learning experience doesn't have to be off the rack. It can be truly tailored to your personal needs or to the needs of your class.
Richard, everybody understands what Wikipedia is. This sounds a little bit like that, but I'm wondering if you could tell us how this is different from Wikipedia's sort of open source way of sharing information and developing articles.
Yeah, it's actually very similar. The main difference is just that we have a lot more structure around the quality control of the actual textbooks so that they can actually be reviewed by school districts, by community colleges, by universities or professional societies. Other than that, there are a lot of similarities. The other difference is that unlike Wikipedia, which is really an anonymous medium, you know, the author's names aren't listed on any of the Wikipedia entries. In Connections, authors actually get their names associated with all the documents. So it's like a new kind of publishing world.
You know, so would you describe this, just to back up a little bit, because the first thing that comes to mind is when you're saying you're putting on textbooks online for free, is are there any licensing problems with this? I mean, publishers make big money on these textbooks, and they're just allowing them to be put online freely?
So this is really a movement that's developing in parallel with what's going on in the for-profit publishing world. Most of our materials, well, actually all of our materials are very carefully cleared through copyright, and the owners of the works have actually decided that they will open source them, if you will, and put them and make them freely available on the internet. And so the works are either brand new textbooks that people haven't yet sold to a publisher, or they're out of print books that the publishers have decided they would be, you know, make a bigger impact if they're available for free, or there's some, you know, combination of the two.
And it certainly sounds trite to say, well, it's a sign of the times, but certainly that is the case. I mean, there's this fascinating study in Texas where the State Board of Education found 1,900 errors in some of their approved textbooks. The format that you're suggesting would allow those corrections to be made in real time and by anyone who catches them.
Exactly. And in fact, it was 109,000 errors in the state's approved textbooks. This is absolutely this is a problem. It's going to take a decade, people estimate, to get Pluto out of our country's science textbooks as a planet. And probably by that time, scientists will have decided a consensus that it is a planet again.
Of course, right. Pluto has a large constituency if you just go by the polling data. But
yeah.
How is this different, college texts versus high school texts? In other words, are college students more able to deal with open source stuff versus the more structured environment of a high school?
Good point. I think that initially these are taking off in the higher ed and the community college space, precisely because not only the students themselves, but the teachers are really, they find this attractive, and it's very much like the kind of things they do every day on the internet. But what we are finding is that very large foundations, school districts, states are actually starting to organize entire curricula from grade 1 through 12 that will be based on entirely open and free textbooks. So
well,
I think you're going to see this over the next couple of years.
So a new trend that Rich Baranek brought to us here at The Takeaway. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rich Baranek is the Victor E. Kammen Professor of Electrical Engineering at Rice University and also founder of Connections, the open source textbook website. Very interesting.
Yeah, Richard's company is so fascinating because it not only substitutes for textbooks, but changes the editorial process itself. People are learning by creating the textbooks.
And learning by participating,
yep.
Which certainly does make a difference. I tried to participate in my textbooks, and I don't think some of my professors appreciated that.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.